Welcome to another episode of Let's Address This with Qasim Rashid. Today, I am debunking the disinformation of right-wing genocide denier Ben Shapiro in his interview with California Governor Gavin Newsom. The whole interview is 90 minutes long. I don't have the bandwidth or the stomach to listen to all the disinformation out there, but their comments on Israel and genocide were especially egregious. And in these next few minutes, I'm going to debunk each of their claims one by one with receipts. Let's start.
Artificial bubbles that are created by loose monetary policy. I think that's what helped lead to the Great Recession. And I think it's what also led to the inflationary spiral under Joe Biden.
What do you make of Donald Trump? And forgive me, this is, we're zigging and zagging around a little bit, but I still can't get over the fact that he sat down and had dinner with Nick Fuentes.
Now, if you don't know, Nick Fuentes is a proud Nazi, a self-described white supremacist, and a genocide denier. At no point has Ben Shapiro ever actually and loudly called on Donald Trump to disavow him and condemn him. At no point has Ben Shapiro disavowed Donald Trump for sitting down with Nick Fuentes.
So I think that that was a bad thing to do, obviously. I think that Nick Fuentes is a scumbag.
The other interesting thing is that Nick Fuentes has the exact same view of Palestinians as does Ben Shapiro. The only difference between Nick Fuentes and Ben Shapiro is that Nick Fuentes also hates Jewish people and Ben Shapiro is Jewish.
I think that the president has, an unfortunate tendency to make nice with people who want to make nice with him.
That's how Ben Shapiro justifies sitting down to dinner with an actual Nazi and Holocaust denier. An unfortunate tendency. Oh, how unfortunate of a tendency that is. That's how he justifies sitting down to dinner with a Holocaust denier. I bring this up because later you will see his absurd criticisms of New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani. He describes sitting down with a Holocaust denier as just an unfortunate situation. And watch later how he describes Zoran Mamdani.
He did come out this week, by the way, and in the New York Times said the Republican Party wants nothing to do with people like Nick Fuentes, doesn't want to do with anti-Semites.
Years later, it took him years, literal years, to come out and condemn Nick Fuentes. That should tell you everything you know about how disingenuous this actually is.
I'll continue to be critical of Republicans who flirt with this sort of stuff. I wish that the Democratic Party were as critical of sitting Congress members who not only flirt with this sort of stuff, but overtly traffic in this sort of stuff. I'll ask you about Zoran Mamdani.
So first he deflects and talks about sitting Congress members, doesn't give any examples whatsoever, and shame on Gavin Newsom for not once pushing back during this entire diatribe. And then he goes straight to Zoran Mamdani.
In the campaign, he was asked on Fox News about Hamas, and he refused to denounce it as a terrorist group.
They are a terrorist group, and they should have been announced.
This is another lie from Ben Shapiro. In reality, Zoran Mamdani is explicitly clear that Hamas must abide by international human rights law, just as the Israeli military must abide by international human rights law. He is calling for a consistent standard, and that standard, by default, condemns the killing of civilians. Why Ben Shapiro finds that offensive is shocking to me, but it also makes sense when you consider that later on, he denies the genocide. Let's continue watching.
I was there, as you know, a few weeks after.
Yes.
October 7th, met with Bibi. Not a big fan of Bibi. This is where we have fundamental disagreements.
That's fine, but,
quite the contrary, in fact.
But staying on domestic politics for a second,
yeah.
It seems to have become a sort of de rigueur requirement for Democrats who are running for office to now suggest, for example, Scott Wiener just did this. He's running for Congress, that Israel committed a genocide in Gaza.
Scott Wiener is Jewish. Let's just be clear. He is Jewish. Ben Shapiro is now claiming that Jewish people who condemn Israel for committing genocide are somehow anti-Semitic. Watch.
That is, forget about anti-Semitism discussions of it, because I think that those have become really loose and people don't have a consistent definition of anti-Semitism. Let's just talk about what's true.
That's true.
Let's
I think it's true about the definition. I mean, we, as you know, have been struggling with that in California
because
as it relates to a lot of laws and legislation.
Of course, anti-Semitism is a fundamentally different cat than, for example, racism. It's basically a conspiracy theory about Jewish power in the world. But it makes
me sick to my stomach, and I say that clearly.
Course.
But not just of course. I mean, we've tried to lead in terms of our response, and we've called out and called balls and strikes in terms of the outrageous
In my own framework of anti-Semitism, I think that saying overtly false things about the Jewish state is a form of anti-Semitism, but I don't think that that is really...
Why, Ben? Why? See, there's two options here. Either Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, or it is an ethno-religious state. States don't have rights. There's no universal declaration of states' rights. states' rights is an argument used by people who want to deny that that government is committing human rights atrocities. Being critical of Israel, equating that to anti-Semitism, is not only unfounded and has no legal definition, and you as a lawyer should know this, it is extraordinarily dangerous. Is criticism of Iran Islamophobic all of a sudden? What about criticism of Saudi Arabia or Pakistan? Is that Islamophobic? Is criticism of Myanmar suddenly anti-Buddhist rhetoric? This is nonsensical. And for you to justify states' rights, it's the exact same argument that the Confederate Army used to justify their enslavement of black people. There is no such thing as states' rights. I can't say that more clearly enough. And for you to insist on that tells me you are not a serious human being. And shame again on Governor Newsom for continuing to allow this disinformation to perpetuate. It's perhaps unsurprising that Governor Newsom is supporting Shapiro's definition here, because California has an anti-BDS law, a law that criminalizes peaceful boycott of the state of Israel. Such a law doesn't exist for any other country in the world, only for the state of Israel, that you cannot boycott the state of Israel without suffering criminal consequences. And by the way, 37 states nationwide have this kind of a law. It is an assault on human rights, an assault on free speech and the First Amendment. They should be repealed under a functioning democracy. Anyway, let's continue watching.
Important as much as it is it true or not? So right. Democrats have now been dragged into this conversation, some dragged, some run with, you know, flags waving, into the conversation.
This notion
about,
of genocide.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look,
Israel did not commit a genocide in Gaza.
Pretty sure the only reason anyone was dragged into this conversation is because the Israeli government is committing genocide. And now Ben Shapiro in a minute is going to say that there's no legal definition or there's no legal justification to affirm that this is genocide. We're going to rebuke that with the receipts in just a minute. But I want you to see how brazen he is with his disinformation. And again, how feckless Governor Newsom is in refusing to push back.
There's no standard by which Israel committed a genocide in Gaza, just on a factual level.
This
you
is
know
a
this.
Legal and factual level.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is your opinion of this?
Ben Shapiro commits a grotesque error here. He ignores the scholarship of just about every single human rights organization globally, which affirms that this is, in fact, genocide. I'm going to provide just a short list, and this has been compiled by Professor Zachary Foster of Princeton University, who, by the way, himself is Jewish. He provides a detailed list in just one tweet a couple of months ago documenting all the different organizations that affirm that this is genocide. That includes Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, Beth Salim, which is an Israeli human rights organization, MSF, Al-Haq.org, the UN Human Rights Commission, UN Human Rights Organization, Al-Mizan Center, the CCR, ECCHR Berlin, Oxfam, the Elders founded by Nelson Mandela, JURDIASSO, and the list goes on and on, but finally, the Lemkin Institute. The Lemkin Institute is significant here because the Lemkin Institute was established in honor of Raphael Lemkin, the Jewish, Polish, Holocaust survivor and lawyer who coined the term genocide. The literal founders and coiners of the term genocide are affirming that what Israel is committing is genocide. And Ben Shapiro thinks he somehow knows better, and he gaslights his millions of followers into thinking that he has some kind of moral authority or legal authority here. He does not.
What is your opinion of this?
My opinion is I understand the tendency for people to make that, to assert that.
Do you though, Governor Newsom, do you understand the tendency? Because it's not an opinion. It's established fact. The International Association of Genocide Scholars, 85% also affirm that this is in fact genocide. Omar Bertov, an Israeli Jewish scholar at Brown University who initially said this was not genocide, has himself come out and said, yes, this is in fact genocide. Norm Finkelstein, a Jewish scholar whose parents were killed in the Holocaust, affirms this is genocide. On what planet do you think this is a tendency and not a factual reality?
On the basis of the images and the proportionality.
Ugly
as
shit
it relates
doesn't
to
mean genocide.
No, no. And by the way, I agree with you.
And proportionality doesn't mean that if you kill my child and I then kill seven criminals, that I've been disproportionate.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think I understand that tendency.
At no point did Newsom or Shapiro actually talk about the actual definition of genocide. So I'll bring it up just so our listeners and our viewers are aware of what's happening here. The Genocide Convention established in Article 1 that the crime of genocide may take place in the context of an armed conflict, international or non-international, but also in the context of a peaceful situation. Now, here are the two main elements of genocide. First, a mental element, an intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. Now, let's be clear here. The intention part is always the most difficult to prove. But in this definition, they are clear that the intent must be for whole or part. So the argument that not all Palestinians were killed, therefore it's not genocide, it's a nonsensical argument according to the definition. The second aspect is the physical element, which includes the following five acts. One, killing members of the group. Two, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. Three, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, or forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. It could be any one of these five. I would argue that Israel has accomplished all five of these things. And I use the word accomplishment not as a positive. But more importantly, the intent element of the group has been repeatedly proven time and time again, and I'll provide some receipts for that in just a second.
Reconcile the proportionate nature of how the war was ultimately conducted.
Notably, notice that there's nothing about proportionality in the definition of genocide. So for Newsom to bring that up is nonsensical. For Shapiro to claim that that's not an issue is also trying to distract from the fact that it has nothing to do with proportionality.
I have a question. Why do you feel the need to create a permission structure for that sort of stuff? I mean, meaning it's not true.
Yeah.
Why not just say it's not true?
It is true, Ben. The definition is explicitly clear. It is actually true. And the fact that you refuse to bring up the definition shows that you know it's true, but bringing up the definition puts you in a corner, so you're trying to avoid bringing up the definition.
I don't know the definition, or I don't know the legal threshold. That's not my opinion, so I don't share that opinion.
You're the governor of California. You literally sign laws that impact the lives of tens of millions of people. You have the fourth largest economy in the world. Governor Newsom, for you to talk about something as critical as genocide while not knowing the definition is an indefensible failure.
I don't know the legal threshold. That's not my opinion, so I don't share that opinion as it relates to genocide. I do not agree with that notion.
There you have it. There you have it. Governor Newsom is on record that Israel is somehow not committing genocide. He's going contrary to every legal scholar. I mean, just think about the absurdity of this. We rightly condemn Trump for not knowing what he's talking about, but passing policy and enforcing policy. And we condemn him for that because of how dangerous it is. Here, Governor Newsom admits he does not know the legal definition of genocide, that he does not know and has not studied the legal definition, but somehow comes out and says, no, it's not genocide. I agree with you, Ben Shapiro, it's not genocide. That's indefensible. That is a failure in leadership.
But you do understand that if you accuse Israel of committing a genocide, that now puts Israel in the position of it should be a pariah state, because states that commit genocide should be pariah states.
Yeah.
So granting...
Good observation there, Ben. Great observation there. But it's not the mere accusation that makes Israel a pariah state. It's the fact that they have been charged by the ICC and the ICJ. It's the fact that they are refusing to allow for there to be due process of law. It's the fact that they are refusing to allow independent journalists to enter. The fact that they're not allowing the UN investigators to enter. They're not even allowing UN investigators to enter to study 10-7, to study the accusations of mass rape, to document that. They are still not allowing investigators to enter Gaza. That is what is making Israel a pariah state. Not the accusation, the actions. And for those watching, I want you to pay close attention to this, because accusations are a dime a dozen, but it's the actions that we're talking about. I'm not being critical of Israel because I just want to make accusations. I'm being critical because of documented actions. And that is what Ben Shapiro and Governor Newsom refuse to acknowledge, to the dishonesty of both.
Legitimacy to that position inherently.
I'm not granting legitimacy. I'm just saying the devastation in Gaza at the human level. You've got four
kids. Of course it's terrible.
No, but I think it's also important to absorb that a little bit more, just as it was sick and we were clear in our condemnation, these people like me.
So let's absorb that. According to most recent estimates, 680,000 people were killed by the Israeli government in Gaza. 680,000. Just sit with that for a minute. These are numbers that are well documented by scientists, by scholars, by independent scholars, by Israeli scholars, by Jewish scholars. Ben Shapiro dismisses all of them because, in his opinion, it's just not true. This is genocide denial. This is genocide denial. You're seeing it in real time, and you need to have the courage to recognize it and call it out for what it is. It's unforgivable. It's indefensible.
As it relates to what Hamas did in that act of barbarism and terrorism.
Yeah, but there's a difference between deliberate terrorism and wartime collateral damage, of course. And if we refuse to acknowledge that reality, then we end up equating
collateral damage. I have stronger opinions. It wasn't just collateral.
You think that Israel is targeting civilians?
I think some of the double tapping issues. I have a lot of issues with how Bibi ultimately conduct the war. I personally do.
This is one of the rare wins for Governor Newsom when he calls out the double tapping issues. And for Ben Shapiro to continue to deny reality just shows how this man has no regard for truth or honesty. He is just a right-wing propagandist. The New York Times, by no means some liberal outlet, documents more than 200 occasions where the Israeli government and the Israeli military forced Palestinians into what they called safe zones and then dropped their most powerful 2,000-pound bombs on those very safe zones. More than 200 times. This didn't happen once or twice. Even that would be unforgivable. But they dropped their most powerful 2,000-pound bombs in the exact location they told Palestinians to go to be safe. Tell me how that is anything but intentional genocide. Imagine for a moment if roles were reversed. Imagine for a moment if Hamas forced Israelis into a particular location and then bombed that particular location. Would we be talking about, are you sure it was intentional? Of course not. No sane person would. And this happened at least 200 times that has been documented. It has happened far more than that that we can't document because, again, Netanyahu refuses to allow independent investigators into Gaza to actually study and research what happened. That is not the sign of an innocent country fighting in self-defense. That is a sign of intentional genocide.
And I have a lot of issues that are also painted on the basis of the conversation I had when a few weeks later, after October 7th, the way he talked about the Palestinians. I kept talking about Hamas. He kept talking about the Palestinians. I kept coming back to Hamas and then ultimately how the war was conducted.
And this is not just Netanyahu. Ben-Gavir, Smotrich, Israel's defense minister, Gallant, have all talked about dehumanizing Palestinians, calling them human animals, saying there are no innocents in Palestine. This is extraordinarily well documented. Again, Ben Shapiro is gaslighting you to claim that there was no intent for genocide. It was extraordinarily well documented, and you need to be deliberately ignorant or willfully blind to prevent yourself from seeing the truth for what it is.
Not saying it was a genocide. I'm not. But I have issues.
What is the thing that he said that you particularly...
There was a dehumanization. I didn't like the way he talked about the Palestinian people. I just didn't...
What is the specific...
They can't govern... I don't want to get into the details.
The reason I'm asking is because he is conflating Hamas and the Palestinians.
He wasn't conflating...
And of course, it does lead to the conclusion.
It was different. It wasn't... No. It was...
What else is it when Netanyahu and his top ministers say that there is no innocent person in Palestine? It is conflating Palestinians with Hamas by default. And mind you, when Israeli soldiers were arrested for raping Palestinian prisoners, Israelis rioted, not because of the rape that was committed, but because Israeli soldiers who committed rape were arrested. Again, Ben Shapiro has no commentary on this because he knows that if he has to face the facts, he is going to lose that debate every single time. And again, shame on Governor Newsom for not bringing these very basic facts and being so apologetic for daring to think for a moment that this could be genocide.
I'm just saying the way he ultimately conducted it, I look back at that conversation, I reflect on rather that conversation, it doesn't surprise me. And I did not think it was proportionate.
Okay.
And I thought it was overwhelming and the devastation and destruction breaks my heart.
Okay, so you're president of the United States. Somebody invades from Mexico. They take several thousand American citizens.
I get it.
They hold them all the way until the end of the war.
I love this analogy because this analogy wants you to forget that anything ever happened before 10-7. We can acknowledge that 10-7 was a war crime. I have no problem doing that. I acknowledge on the day of 10-7 that it was a war crime. But what Ben Shapiro does here, again, is lie and gaslight you. He wants you to forget that in the year prior to 10-7, the Israeli military had killed 247 Palestinians, not even in Gaza, but in the West Bank where there is no Hamas. He wants you to forget that the headline on 10-6 was that the last year was the deadliest year on record for the Israeli government killing Palestinian children. The deadliest year on record. They had killed nearly 50 Palestinian children. He wants you to pretend that 10/7 happened in a vacuum. He wants you to ignore that there were hundreds of thousands, nearly 700,000 illegal settlements violently built with military occupation on Palestinian land. The Israeli government did this. None of this justifies 10/7 in my view. It provides context, a context that Ben Shapiro wants you to ignore. When he says that, let's say Mexicans invade, he's being dishonest with you. The actual analogy would be that if the U.S. government violently took over Mexican lands, killed hundreds of Mexicans, killed dozens of Mexican children, and then they fought back, what would happen in that scenario? I still wouldn't justify attacking civilians, and I still don't do that to this point. But do you understand how much Ben Shapiro is gaslighting you and how pathetically Governor Newsom is just groveling before him and trying to get his approval? It's truly pathetic.
Until the end of the war, there are hostages being held.
Don't get me wrong on any of this. I'm with you.
And why were the hostages being held? Well, according to the families of the hostages, and according to the lead Israeli negotiator who's trying to get the hostages freed, the blockade was not Hamas. The blockade was Bibi Netanyahu, was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. There's a reason why the families of the hostages call him Mr. Death. There's a reason why they gave interviews to Israeli media repeatedly saying that we have lost faith in Netanyahu. He has condemned our families to death. They didn't blame Hamas. They blamed Netanyahu. He was the reason why the hostages were not released, because he needed to keep the hostages in Gaza to perpetuate and justify his genocide. And now that the so-called ceasefire deal has happened and all hostages have been returned, reports show that Israel has broken the ceasefire more than 1,000 times. And now that the so-called ceasefire is in effect, reports show that the Israeli government has broken the ceasefire nearly 1,000 times and killed more than 400 Palestinians. Once again, these are after all the hostages have been returned. It was never about the hostages. So for as much as Shapiro wants to claim, well, Hamas still hasn't done X, Y, Z, or still hasn't disarmed, or still hasn't done this or done that, he is completely silent on the actual violent violation of the ceasefire by the Israeli government nearly 1,000 times. He is completely silent on the more than 400 Palestinian civilians that have been killed since the so-called ceasefire went into effect. And again, shame on Newsom for ignoring all these facts.
Yes, I'm with you in terms of the ultimate accountability and bringing the hostages home. I like the clarity and conviction as it relates to getting all the hostages dead and alive home and all of that. I'm not denying that.
And by the way, Hamas still has not been extirpated in the areas where Israel has left them alone. And clearly
this truce and detente is still a work in progress. There's been a lot of destruction.
Well, because Hamas was supposed to be disarmed and they didn't.
How do we know that Hamas isn't disarmed? How do we know? Are we believing the IDF who continues to kill innocent people? It's not independent media reporting it. It's not the UN reporting it. It's not Amnesty reporting it. It's the, trust me, bro, IDF who is still killing innocent people. And this is what's so disgusting and shameless about Ben Shapiro. He knows he's lying. He knows full well he's lying. He wants us to believe the very same people committing genocide that, oh, something must be wrong, therefore we have to kill more innocent people. No evidence, no documentation, simply trust me, bro. It's insufferable and it's indefensible.
There's no, I'm crystal clear about it.
Right, but the point is that I think
and
shifting
I'm also
blame
crystal
on
clear my love for Israel.
This is where we are now. This is where we are. No arguments, no facts. Let's just deep dive into love for Israel. I mean, my guy, I know you want to run to be president, but I hope you would look at the last three candidates who are centrists and were on the wrong side of this issue about Israel and Palestine, and you saw what happened with 2 out of 3 losses and Biden barely winning in 2020. This is not a winning issue. Americans don't want to fund genocide. They don't want to fund the Israeli government to continue to commit genocide. This is not a left-wing issue. Republicans and Democrats alike don't want this to happen. Why do you keep leaning into this?
In my condemnation of Bibi, and there's a distinction. I condemn Donald Trump.
Just,
I love my country.
Yeah,
and
I'm
I
just
going
to point out, listen, anyone is free to disagree with Prime Minister Netanyahu anytime that they want. I will point out that...
But they're not
known,
anti-Semitic when they say...
Of course not.
That's also important to say because some people conflate that.
You don't. No, of course.
But others do.
I've critiqued Bibi myself, mainly for not being right-wing enough, in my opinion.
You hear that? He's critiqued Benjamin Netanyahu for not being right-wing enough, for not committing enough genocide, for not enforcing a strong enough apartheid, for not denying basic humanitarian access to Gaza strong enough. That's what his criticism of Netanyahu is this is not a man working from a place of honesty or integrity. This is a man calling for there to be a right-wing ethno state that enforces apartheid and genocide. And anyone who is critical of Israel for doing that, that's a person who's anti-Semitic. This is unhinged.
He's on many issues domestically,
God bless you,
actually.
God bless.
But when it comes to, we can get into perceptions of Netanyahu's leadership and all this. I will say this. I know every major politician in Israel, just I know many major politicians in Ukraine, in Hungary.
This is a really important point that Ben is about to make, because it reveals something that I don't think he realizes it reveals.
In a wide variety of places. In Israel, I happen to know the last several prime ministers. If anyone outside of the state of Israel believes that Naftali Bennett or Yair Lapid, who's on the left,
would have conducted their response.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No, fair point.
That is a revelation right there. He is admitting that whether it's a left-wing or a right-wing politician leading Israel, they all would have committed genocide. This is what you get with a country that has established an apartheid regime over the last several decades. This is what you get from a country that has built more than 700,000 illegal settlements on Palestinian land, who has enforced an illegal blockade for decades, who refuses to allow equal access under the law to non-Israelis, non-Jewish people. And for Ben Shapiro to admit that so brazenly, I think is an important element. This is one of the times he's spoken truth here. And it again reminds us why states don't have rights and they need to be held accountable according to international law. And why his claim that being critical of the government of Israel is somehow anti-Semitic is just nonsensical.
That's not true.
No, fair point. Look, hey.
And the IDF, by the way, operates largely independently in some ways of the prime minister's office. It's kind of a strange dual system that they have.
Yeah. However, the IDF operates, ultimately, he is the prime minister, and the IDF takes their commands from the prime minister of Israel. And the war crimes that they have committed, they need to be held accountable for. Simple as that. Because guess what? If Nuremberg taught us one thing, I was just following orders is not a valid defense.
System that they have over there. I know so many soldiers who, I mean, I talk about one in the book who had three limbs blown off going door to door in Gaza, not using overwhelming air power to eviscerate millions of people.
Yeah, I was in the hospital meeting victims on October 7th in Israel. So I been to memorials and
I want to be clear in the terminology we use about all this stuff right now, for example,
but the genocide
where are the protesters, where are the members of the Democratic Party protesting and wearing pins for the protesters in Iran who are getting mowed down, maybe by the tens of thousands this week?
Well, I know
how quickly he just goes, well, Iran is definitely killing tens of thousands. You see how quickly, how easily he does that? No hesitation, no question of the resources, because Iran also has a media blackout. And we don't actually know what's going on. We know there are riots. We know that at least hundreds have been killed. But the idea of tens of thousands, we don't know yet. And we need to get independent media, international media in there. We need to get the UN in there. And to hold Iran accountable. And guess what? I'm not going to call Ben Shapiro Islamophobic for being critical of Iran just because it's an Islamic theocracy. Yes, be critical of Iran. You see the difference here, Ben? We can be critical of a country without being accused of Islamophobia. The same applies to Israel as well. My question to Ben is, why won't you apply the same scrutiny to the documented evidence we have of 680,000 people killed in Israel? Because that would just destroy your entire narrative. And the reason why people aren't marching in the streets, it's not because we have any less care for Iranians. It's for two very simple reasons. One, our tax dollars are not funding the atrocity that the Iranian government is committing. Whereas our tax dollars, to the tune of tens of billions of dollars, are funding the genocide that the Israeli government is committing on Palestinians. And two, the Iranian government is not, by anyone's definition yet, committing genocide. We are loud and clear that the Iranian government should stop oppressing its people. And the irony of all this is that under Obama, when the Iran nuclear deal went into effect and it was enacted and the International Atomic Commission confirmed that Iran is abiding by every single aspect of this deal, you wanted it blown up and you were proud when Donald Trump blew it up, because you're not looking for diplomacy. You're a war hawk. You're looking for war. That's what's shameful about this. That's why you can justify the genocide of Palestinians. And that's why you want us to bomb Iran and perpetuate more war. That's your North Star. It's not peace or justice. It's war. That much is explicitly clear.
Ryan, I put out a pretty clear statement
this
week. And
I'd like to see more Democrats.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And by the way,
They want to see more Democrats perpetuate more war. We don't have healthcare in this country. 60% of Americans can't make ends meet. Childhood poverty, 1 in 5 children are food insecure. And what do they want? They want more war. I don't understand how they're appealing to Democrats or Republicans on this. They are appealing to the war lobby. That's basically it. It's shame again on Governor Newsom for being proud of wanting to perpetuate more war.
I also thought it was, I thought it was the right thing to do, that strike. And I thought it was unbelievably effective and efficient. Had no problem saying that during the strike. Now,
what Governor Newsom is telling you is that if you elect him president of the United States, he will continue to bomb Iran. He will continue to escalate war and tensions. Tell me how this is any different than what Donald Trump is doing right now. That's where we are. That's how absurd the situation is. For Newsom to then proudly say, yeah, it was right to resort to war and bombing is absurd. How do you distinguish and say what Trump is doing is wrong when you're doing the exact same thing, when you're advocating for the exact same thing? This is the hypocrisy and the lack of integrity and justice that we need to call out every single time. I don't care if they're wearing a red hat or a blue hat, we need to call it out.
Didn't wait for the outcome. So, I marched to a beat of a little bit of a different drum, a little bit more nuance here, but there is.
Yeah, you march to the beat of a war drum. And that's the problem, Gavin. That is the fundamental problem.
Everything's so black and white. There's nuance here. I mean,
for sure. But I think that the point that I'm making, get back to sort of where we originally departed here, was that, you know, I'm trying to call out what I see as bad behavior, untrue, immoral behavior on my own side. I'd like to see that more from a Democratic Party.
Ben, when have you called out Randy Fine for his grotesque Islamophobia? When have you called out Marjorie Taylor Greene for her anti-Muslim hate? When have you called out Donald Trump for his racist comments against black people or against immigrants or against Mexicans? When have you called him out for his Muslim ban? You haven't. You've justified and championed all of it. You admitted that you're only critical of Netanyahu because he doesn't go far right enough. So when have you called out bad behavior on your side? You have not. You're gaslighting us again. And then you're trying to use that as a moral equivalent for Democrats who are principled in condemning genocide and trying to equate the two. Nonsensical.
Democratic Party that seemed to be perfectly willing to wrap an arm around Zohar Mamdani the minute he got a little bit of momentum.
I'm sorry. When did the Democratic Party wrap an arm around Zohar Mamdani? I'm still waiting to understand when that happened. Hakeem Jeffries endorsed him at the very last second. Chuck Schumer refused to endorse him. Half of the New York congressional delegation refused to endorse him. Kirsten Gillibrand accused him of global jihad or some trash like that. On what planet did Zohran Mamdani win the support of the Democratic establishment? He won the support of the voters with an overwhelming majority, destroyed Cuomo twice. But on what planet, Ben Shapiro, did Zohran Mamdani suddenly have this magical support of the Democratic Party establishment?
Yeah,
the same man who had said that whenever the NYPD boot is on the throat of Americans, the IDF is lacing the boot.
Again, Ben Shapiro is upset that he's being called out because it is well established, Amnesty International has supported this for decades, that the Israeli military trains many U.S. law enforcement officers. This is just documented fact. This is not conspiracy theory. This is well documented fact. And we also know that the Israeli military is illegally occupying Palestinian land in apartheid conditions, and we see the hundreds of Palestinians killed every single year, including children, by the Israeli military, including U.S. citizens, by the way, with impunity, without any accountability. So again, Ben is gaslighting you because he doesn't want to face the actual truth.
And that sort of nonsense is terrible.
No, I don't associate with those comments at all.
Of course you don't, Gavin, because you're not interested in facts as well. You're trying to appeal to right-wing zealots like Shapiro. You are a Democrat, aren't you?
I mean, and look, he doesn't speak for me.
Should Mamdani be the mayor of New York?
That's up for people in New York to make that decision. That's not for me to be out here in California, thousands of miles away.
Trump should be president. The American people decided he should.
Well, that's,
again, a bizarre comparison by Shapiro. Somehow Newsom is supposed to decide whether Mamdani should be the mayor of New York City, but he's wrong for criticizing Donald Trump as president of the United States. Does Shapiro understand that California is part of the United States, but New York City is not part of California? Does basic geography escape him once again?
that directly impacts me. I mean, New York may indirectly, but I mean, it's a little bit of a different question. We'll see how he ultimately does. I thought he ran an incredibly effective campaign. I think there's a lot of interesting attributes that he has. Incredibly bright, incredibly capable. He's delivered some early...
There are a lot of terrible people who say bright and capable.
No, I get it. But and I absolutely disagree with him on a lot of those comments.
There's a lot of terrible people who say bright and capable things. The man has no self-awareness. It's fascinating.
And I've also maintained that posture pretty consistently over a long period of time.
I mean, Newsom trying to flex about how anti-democratic candidates he is, how anti-democratic party he is. My dude, you're the democratically elected and Democrat governor of California. What are you doing? Why won't you fight? You are the biggest argument against your own social media team. Your social media team presents you as like this hip, like with it guy who gets it, who understands the urgency, the need of the hour. And then you come on and do these podcasts and demonstrate that they are just lying to us about who you are. Because this guy on this podcast is not the guy we see on social media. The guy on social media pretends to give a damn. You are trying so hard to impress Ben Shapiro. It's actually a little bit revolting. It's actually a lot of it revolting.
And no, I was not a Cuomo fan. So just for the record, and sorry.
It turns out there weren't a lot of Cuomo fans.
And I say this with respect. I mean, the Cuomo family is a good Democrat, his father, and there's some members of the family I like a lot. But look, these are tougher issues, and they are tough issues. And I appreciate your willingness to call balls and strikes. And a lot of folks.
Really, Newsom? When did Ben call a ball or strike? This is foul by any measure. What are you doing?
Frankly, a lot of folks in your world, as we sort of castigate the right-wing media ecosystem, your willingness to call this stuff out.
I think that in general, this is the way, if we want to have a way forward in American politics, just to get a little general, it has to be predicated on certain basic premises about truth. And that's why I keep saying, forget about, categorization. Is it true or is it not true?
I think that's a great place to stop. What is true and what is not true? It is true that the Israeli government is committing genocide on the people of Palestine. It is true that the Israeli government is illegally occupying Palestinian land. It is true that since this alleged ceasefire, the Israeli government has broken that ceasefire nearly 1,000 times and killed more than 400 innocent Palestinian civilians. And it is also true that neither Newsom nor Shapiro had the integrity or decency to admit to any of those facts. This was a masterclass in gaslighting and in propaganda. And if Newsom thinks that this is going to win him votes, then I don't know what to tell you, buddy, but this is not going to help you when you announce your campaign for presidency. We've already seen how people will not vote for a Democratic candidate who denies the genocide of the Palestinian people, who continues to arm Netanyahu, a credibly accused war criminal, who turns a blind eye to the generations-long suffering of Palestinians, who supports extrajudicial strikes, who supports invading other countries, who refuses to hold accountable the president of the United States because you think it's a great idea that he bombed another nation. The fact remains that our country will not survive unless the Democratic Party becomes an actual opposition party to the fascism enacted by Donald Trump and Republicans. And this interview is another classic example of just how much danger we're in. We need to continue to speak truth to power, actually call balls and strikes, and demand justice and accountability no matter who is in office, no matter what party, no matter whether they wear a red hat or a blue hat. The vote blue, no matter who mantra, is a failing mantra. It's a cult mantra, just like those who refuse to acknowledge that MAGA fascists are destroying our country. The only way through is by electing new leaders, young leaders, leaders with new ideas who are committed to actual justice and human rights, not to a partisan politics that is funded by AIPAC and other right-wing billionaires. Thank you for tuning in. As you can see, this response took a lot longer than the actual interview itself because that is what disinformation creates. Berlini's Law says that the amount of energy required to refute BS is an order of magnitude greater than the BS itself. But thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe and share this content so we can continue to create these rebuttals to the right-wing disinformation machine. You're listening to Let's Address This with Qasem Rashid. We'll see you next time.